Good morning, church. Do you believe that we're in the last Sunday of April? Wow, how time flies, huh? It has been crazy to think about all that's been going on in the last few weeks. And so I just wanted to kind of connect on with you a little bit and give you some things to think about. And if you have not done it yet, connect on to our church app. You can find it in your Google Play Store or in your if you have Apple, you can do that. So if you have a Google Play Store, just go look for Calvary Port Acres, and I'll put that on the screen here for you. So you can know exactly what it is here. Hang on. Well, I had it for you, but I lost it. All right. But anyway, Calvary Port Acres, all one. Oh, here we go. There we go. All one word, Calvary Port Acres in the Google Play Store. And then if you have an Apple phone, you'll need to go look for Share Faith. All one word, Share Faith Ministries, Share Faith, all one word. And then look for Calvary Port Acres underneath that. So download those. I've got a couple of pictures here I want to show you. And these are just kind of some things we have in there. Contact us, daily devotions, online giving. Our messages are on there now if you refresh that. In fact, if you go to the little bottom left corner, this little circle thing, you can see that and refresh that. So you can listen to the past messages. You can actually download them in audio form so you can listen to them later. If there's some notes, you can download the notes, like the Learning of Christ series. You can download those notes. And I think I even have another picture, another image to show you here. This is the main screen here. Kind of give you an update and whatever, and you click the left, those little three lines there. And so hopefully enjoy that and give you something to kind of look at. There's lots of stuff to kind of explore it. If you have any questions, let me know and just come and get with me and we can kind of get that on your phone. But lots of great stuff. Daily devotions are real easy to click on there and lots of great information. So hope you're enjoying that if you already have it downloaded. Also, if you already have it downloaded, you might have gotten a notification yesterday. And that's what we'll be doing as well. Notifications of things going on. You just get a push notification is what it's called. And kind of give you some updates on what's going on. And you can go back and read those notifications in the app. So pretty cool. Social distancing. Man, the government is going into phases. Phase one, phase two, phase three. It looks like Texas will be hitting phase one hopefully in the next week or so. So we'll be slowly getting back together. And we can't just all come together at one time, and that would be nice, but it looks like they're going to ramp us up as they ramp us down. And so we got some plans we're making now, and as soon as we kind of know something from the government that lets us and kind of knows what those plans are, I will let you know. And so just be patient. Until then, keep watching the online videos and share them with other friends and keep connecting to each other. A couple of prayer updates. Jane, Donna's mother, is at home. She's in hospice. Her dementia and infection and things like that have really taken a toll on her. She's really weak. And just pray for Donna and her family and they just have wisdom. Sib Greer is in St. Elizabeth's. He has pneumonia and really weak. And so be praying for him and the family there. Rose Pierce is supposed to be getting out of the rehab, I think, this weekend if she hasn't already out. And then Pam Brown is doing much better, doesn't have to have surgery, and it looks like she'll be coming home either today or tomorrow. So just kind of keep those prayer needs. If you have other prayer requests and prayer needs, make sure you share them with each other on our Calvary private group, Calvary prayer group. So just kind of keep everyone up to date on what's going on. Or you can give me a call at the church, and I can put that on there for you. Let's do our Calvary 40 Acres Creed together. So if you want to say that together, say it out loud as a family, or if you want to say it silently in your head. But this is a good one. Here we go. The Calvary Port Acres Creed number 3. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, his conception by the Holy Spirit, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross, his bodily resurrection as ascension to the right hand of the Father. That's basically the gospel. In a nutshell, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but his life, his birth, all of that is the good news that God brought to us. Amen? And so that's kind of exciting to think about. So let's get into the lesson today. And we're looking at forgiving others. I want to tell you a strange story first, but it's a true story. It is odd, but makes a great illustration. There's a certain tribe in Africa that hunt monkeys. Now, whatever you like about monkeys or not monkeys or eating monkeys or not eating monkeys, this is what they do. But they don't shoot them. They don't throw spears at them. They capture the monkeys by setting up cages and placing bait inside the cage. The bait can anything that a monkey would like, food or even an unusual object that they like, and they put it in the cage. And so far, this story is not so strange or unusual, but here's the strange part. The monkeys are lured to the cages because of what's inside the bait, but they're too smart to actually go inside the cage. Instead, they reach through the bars, right, grab the bait and try to pull it out. But because the object is too large to go through the bars, the monkey cannot get out. The monkey could drop the bait and free itself, but the stubborn monkeys refuse to let go. They kick and squeal, but keep holding on. They stay trapped in bondage because they refuse to let go of the bait. The people come by and hit them on the head, and the monkey's theirs. Kind of odd a story there. Sad for the monkey. But my question to you is, are you trapped in a trap just like those monkeys? Have you grabbed the bait and refused to let go without realizing that you're not in the cage and you're actually free? You might be asking, what bait are we talking about today? Well, the bait we're going to be talking about today that Satan uses so often to trap us all is called unforgiveness. Satan sets his trap using as bait some wrong or hurtful act done by someone else or some wrong you've done yourself. If you grab it and don't let go, you'll be his prisoner as long as you hold on to it. You're not in the cage. You're a free person because you're in Christ. You're free to live your life in Christ. But because you hold on to it, you will not let go. And ultimately, you're trapped. Many people are held captive in Satan's trap because they refuse to let go of that unforgiveness. They refuse to let go of the hurt. The lesson today is on forgiveness. Not forgiving us or God forgiving us or even, you know, others forgiving us. But it is about forgiving others. You forgiving others. And that is hard to do. Look what Ephesians 4:32 says. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. The Bible says that we are to be kind to each other. Kindness is a great way to keep many hurtful acts from happening to us in the first place. But when they happen, the Bible says to be tenderhearted. This is us not letting those wrong things that do come along hurt us or for us not to take it personally. That's that tenderhearted aspect. But when they do hurt us, and it will happen, then he says to forgive them for what they have done. So be kind to start with, tenderhearted, and then forgive. This forgiveness word in the Greek means in kindness. Pardon or rescue them. In kindness, rescue them. In kindness, pardon them. We're to forgive others as if we are rescuing them from their own bondage. Usually when people hurt us the most, it's when they are hurting inside themselves. You might have heard the phrase, hurt people, hurt people. Those who are hurting will hurt others. So by us forgiving them, we are releasing them from their own hurt, their own bondage. And isn't this exactly what Christ did for us? Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. This sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I think so. Not one person listening to this right now would argue with me about these statements. But you're probably asking, how do we do this for real? How do we forgive others as Christ has forgiven us? Well, here's the answer. Know God. That's it. Know God. Learn of him and know him more. Let's look at this from a different perspective. And hopefully we'll come together for you by the end. We all know the verse in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love flaunts not itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself improperly. Seeks not his own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. This kind of love is not a feeling. It's an attitude that is demonstrated by action. Love and action. In fact, some translations use the word charity. That may be a better word here because love means, charity means love shown in action. Charity. For years, I recognized 1 Corinthians 13, charity, as a measure of love, but I never got much closer to be able to do it. But I understand what it looks like, and I finally understand that 1 Corinthians 13 does not just describe the love that we ought to have for each other or the love that we should strive for, but it is a description of how God loves us. God is love. Imagine the effects that would have on your life if you truly understood this in your own heart. How much does God love you? Well, obviously, we've done this before. You substitute God for love in that passage. God is always patient with you. God is always kind to you. God does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. God is not rude to you. He's not self-seeking. He is never easily angered with you. God keeps no record of your wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects you, always trusts you, always hopes the best for you. God always perseveres with you. God's love for you never fails. Seems too good to be true, but it is true. God loves each and every one of us just like that. So how are we, who are the body of Christ, to love, accept, and forgive one another? Just as God in Christ also loved, accepted, and has forgiven us. Think about this trend. Whether we realize it or not, we will treat other people with the same measure of love, acceptance, and forgiveness that we, rightly or wrongly, think we're receiving from God. We'll never love one another with a higher degree of love than we think we're receiving from God. In other words, if I think that God likes me when I'm good, but is constantly punishing me when I'm bad, how do you think I'll treat others that do bad to me? Exactly the same. I don't think I've ever met a Christian who sometime in their life didn't ask the question, why don't we have more love in the church? To me, it's become a simple answer. The reason that there's not more love in the church is because of a lack of understanding of God's love for us. Religious people can become so mean because in their minds, they are serving a mean God, or at least a God that cannot forgive them like he says he does. God has given us grace, and we're to forgive others with that same grace. But some would tell you that unless you turn from every one of your sins, God cannot forgive you. And then they do the same thing to others. No forgiveness unless I see some repentance from them. I will not forgive them unless they ask for it. That is the harm that comes from legalism in our churches, and that is why I aggressively defend the message of God's grace. Legalism is not just nitpicking the scriptures for a fun message. Our concept of God's love and grace is an issue that affects every area of our life, especially our relationship with our family, our spouses, and our siblings, and even our parents. If we have to confess our sins and ask God to forgive us, every one of them, then others need to do the same thing to us. And if they don't, I can't forgive them. I hear that all the time. Paul tells us that he prays that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Our goal is to know the love of Christ. And what is the result of knowing the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge? We will be filled to that measure of the fullness of God. There's the answer. A practical application of what it means to love others as God loves us, by being filled with all of him. If you're totally filled with the knowledge of God's love and grace, what comes out of you? The love of God. And that is powerful. The Christian life does not feel unnatural when your mind is full of God's grace. It feels truly natural for the first time. It does not mean that there's no struggle. The flesh continues to send messages to our mind, appealing to the fear and anger, lust, selfishness, pride. But we do not have to live in bondage to those things. We do not ever see in the Bible that those flesh patterns, those habits that create desires of the flesh, will all go away. As long as we live in these bodies, we'll still feel that influence. Less and less as we look to God, but there'll still be an influence. We also do not see the Bible telling us to clean up the flesh and then you'll be spiritual, because it can never work. You can work throughout your whole life and never get the flesh cleaned up. Christ did not come to improve the flesh. He came to execute it and to give us new life. Trying to clean up yourselves is merely returning to the law, the ultimate exercise of futility. When the Bible says that we're not under the law anymore, it does not mean that there is no right or wrong, like some people would say. But now Christ is leading agent for good. He's the one that's going to lead us to good. He's the one that's going to lead us to all things good. And now we know him, we can never know how to love. And until we know him, we can never know how to love, and then we can never know how to forgive. Jesus said, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another," John 13:35. There's only one way that this will ever happen. We must first receive God's love and grace, or we will have nothing to give. But if we will receive God's love and become instruments of that love to others, we can walk in the assurance that we are fulfilling the highest purpose of God in our daily lives. So going back to forgiving others, when we are filled with God's love and grace, we will be able to forgive others, because that is a natural byproduct of being filled with a God who loves and forgives us. When we know God and have an understanding of his love, we'll be filled with his love and we'll see the fullness of God in our lives, and we'll begin to forgive others. So knowing that and knowing his love for us and knowing what he knows about us, man, I just think about that and understand what God is trying to teach us on that. And if we would understand that this is truth in our life, if we would understand that these things are true in everything that is going on, man, how much better would our lives be? So how about you this morning? Is there something, one in your life that you're not forgiving? Someone that you maybe have said, "I will never forgive them." Or you might forgive them if they ask for forgiveness and confess they did me wrong. I'm not asking you to list their name here. You not even have to respond to the comments. Just acknowledge it to yourself and then agree with God. Agree with him that you're going to allow God to forgive them through you. See, knowing God and knowing his love and knowing the desire of his heart and knowing that that is in you, and you trust in what is already there, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Knowing those things and trusting those things and allowing those things to come up and agreeing with God, "God, you're going to forgive them through me, and I'm going to back away." But how does this play out in reality? Maybe you need to take a good look at God this morning and know he has forgiven you. He is love. And when you allow him to fill you by understanding this, you will be able to forgive everyone. Forgiving others. And church, that's my goal for you guys. My prayer for us is that we continue to see God's love. We'll continue to see his love impact us in our life and see what he's doing in our lives, and that it will just flow out of us, abundant love out of our lives, until we can see him face to face. Church, I love you. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your kindness. And God, I ask you to continue to lead us as a church to love others as you have loved us, to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And God, that if we would notice your love and see your love, that will be flowing out of us individually, naturally. We'll give you praise for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, amen. Well, church, I hope you're having a great day, and I hope you enjoyed the humor as we started off there. And goodbye to everyone. I'm praying for you. And keep connected through phone calls and cards. Let people know that you're thinking of them. Make sure you give phone calls and calling people and saying, "Hey, thinking of you today." And I know they'll enjoy it. Love you all, church. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon. And I'll keep you updated on all the things going on. Bye.